Jim Goodman, coach of the Avon Lake Math Madness team, the national champs, is here in studio with us. Jim, how are you, my man?
Hey, doing all right.
Well, you mentioned that walking into a radio studio is nothing new to you. You get to put your DJ hat back on again. Flyer radio, that's where you thrived for a semester, you were telling me?
That's right, one hot semester at UD back in the day. It's been a little while.
Okay, all right. Well, it's been a couple of years. That's all right. Well, tell our listeners about this Math Madness competition. You and I were talking earlier. You mentioned that this essentially started as something for the kids to do in the fall time after school, but it's really kind of blossomed into something much, much bigger over the last 6 years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, since I've been at Avon Lake, we've had our kids getting into some different math competitions. And there's a few kind of bigger formal ones in the springtime, but we would just kind of be practicing and trying to learn some different things in the fall. It's hard to get the kids out there. And then they started this about 6 years ago, Math Madness, and it's styled kind of like March Madness. You know, you've got a 64-team tournament, single elimination. Every week the kids are, each school is faced against another school from somewhere else in the country, and it's all online, so there's no traveling. The kids get on a computer, and each kid is answering a set of problems, and the other team's doing the same thing. The top five scorers from each team make a team score, and one team wins, one team loses, and the team that wins gets to go on. And that's pretty much how it's set up. It's really exciting sometimes, especially when you get sometimes you'll have two teams where they can actually go at the same time. Sometimes you have one go and then the other, but if it's live, unlike other math competitions, you can actually see the live scoring on the screen. So each kid kind of gets paired up against somebody from the other team. Every time a team scores, you see it on there, the time's clicking. There's all this kind of tension and intensity. And so it's a lot of fun. The kids have a lot of fun with it.
Give us an idea as to how you guys won this whole thing. You were telling me there's a lot of different layers of competition along the way with the Math Madness tournament. You guys come under the Division II umbrella nationwide, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. So there's the way they have it set up, there's about 350 teams that are in Math Madness. And they do a Division I bracket, which is the top 64 teams in the country. Those teams, a lot of those schools are magnet schools or, really elite prep schools that have borders. There's this one school in Nevada called the Davidson School that every time we play a team, our kids look up the other school. They looked up this school one time. You had to have like an IQ test that shows your three standard deviations above the mean to go there. And there's kids that go there from all over the country. There's very few traditional public schools in that bracket. The Berkeley prep school is in there, you know. So then in Division II, they then break you up by size. So we are in the next division with the largest math team. So it's the next most competitive division. And again, the next 64 teams are basically, we're in there together. So, it's just like March Madness. You have a 64-team tournament, six rounds. And, the farthest we'd made it in this before was to the fourth round, to the Elite Eight. And, we've been close before, but, this year we really have a special team. And we got a couple really great players and students, whatever, and a lot of depth. And so we were, we kind of came in knowing this year we had a real chance. And every week we'd come in and just kind of do our thing. And it was really close a couple times, but we just happened to keep winning each week. And this last one was really intense.
So take us through the win. Take us through the national championship victory. You detailed this to me in an email earlier today going over some of the specifics. So you mentioned the final score was 22-22, right? So the final score indicates that you're tied, but there's some other elements at play here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So this the final was pretty intense. We were going against the Roxbury Latin School in Boston, which is the kids looked it up. They love to look up. They do opposition research right before. So this school, it's the oldest continuous high school in America. They look up the notable alumni, the kids do. So the principal founder of Yale went there and the founder of Harvard Medical School went there. Wow. They have like a $30,000 plus a year tuition. So it's a pretty fancy school, and you know, I play that up with the kids ahead of time, like, oh, these guys think they're fancy, you know.
Wait, it was Roxbury?
It's in Boston. Yeah, the Roxbury Latin School.
Okay. I immediately thought of not at the Roxbury.
Me too. Right. Did your head start bobbing a little bit to the side?
I think I started to do that, and the kids weren't picking up on it. I don't know. Might have been too old for them. This thing gets started, and you know, we were actually down on the scoreboard for most of the match because I didn't realize it right away. My second highest scorer, his name's Erwin Dang. He decided to he thought it'd build suspense if he just did all his work on pencil and paper and waited to put all his answers until the end.
So, wow!
It did. We were down. You know, we were down 2 or 3 points throughout most of the match, and then with like 1 minute to go, he starts putting in his answers. And there's 8 questions, so he puts them all in. He got 6 right, 2 wrong, and that brought us up into a tie, 22-22, like you said. And when it's tied, the tiebreaker is based on time. And so the way that works is again, the scoring is the top 5 scorers added up. So the time is based on the average of those scores. How long did it take each kid to answer all 8 questions? And we won by 31 seconds, so in a 30-minute competition. So we didn't know right away. We got our answers in. The time ended. We saw it was 22-22. We're all kind of huddled around the computers. We're like, hey, it's tied. It's tied. 22. Who won on time? And then, you know, a few seconds later, the time comes up, and we just all kind of jumped up and started yelling. It was pretty exciting.
So could he wait to put in his answers? Could that have hurt you then?
You know, it could have, but I think if he had his answers, he would have put them in. It's how long it takes to finish the 8 questions.
Oh, okay.
So I think as long as he didn't wait.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, we had another kid who finished kind of early, and I think that was a difference maker, really. So Ryan Keller, he was our 4th highest scorer this week, and he put his answers in fast. And that gave us the win. So
walk us through, how do they draw these, you know, regions? And for you guys, I'm assuming you're explaining it like basketball. So I'm assuming there's like 4 different regions throughout the country. And
yeah, so the bracket looks a lot like that. And,
okay.
And I kind of played it up like that because I think those are terms people understand. The way they seed it, though, it's all just based on the numbers. So it's not. There's no like geographic regions playing a role here. It's all based on the scores. So we had a couple rounds before the tournament,
okay.
A couple weeks where we kind of just played a sort of a friendly match against a school. But those numbers, the scores those weeks determined where you were seeded. So we were one of the 4 number 1 seeds, if you want to think of that, in our tournament. We were like the 4th of them. There were the other 3 all had better scores coming in.
But you're national champs.
But we're the ones still standing. You got it.
Nice. Very nice. Again, Jim Goodman, coach of the Avon Lake Math Madness team, joining us. They're the national champs. Jim's here in studio with us, a Bullseye on the Afternoon. So give us an idea as to what you guys are looking at on paper. Are we talking typical addition, subtraction, division, multiplication? Are we going into like trying to figure out the Pythagorean theorem? Like what are they doing on paper here?
Sure. You know, and that's a great question. All the kids that I have on this team are all like strong math students. These questions are kind of on a different level. Now, it's not like calculus or anything like that. The kids who understand algebra and geometry really well can do well at these competitions. But the way they ask these questions, the way they package them, it's more outside of the box than what you'd see in school. They have to, you know, put a couple different things together in a weird new way, something they haven't seen before. But it's all based on things they might know from school. I've got some kids. I've had kids who are. I teach the AP classes and the AP Calc classes, and I teach a lot of the smart kids, you know. And I've had kids from those classes who are phenomenal math students come to this competition and just really struggle, like put up a 0 on one of these. You know, they can do. I give tough tests in class. Anything I show them how to do, they can do it. When you throw something at them that's different, that requires them to kind of figure something out brand new. Sometimes it's a little more challenging. I'll give you an example of a couple questions. Some of the stuff does involve math that they haven't seen a lot of. Like there's a lot of probability combinations, stuff with imaginary numbers. And that stuff we touch on a little bit in like high school math classes, but it doesn't get a lot of play compared to some of the other stuff. There was one problem one week that I'm remembering where the kids were told in three-dimensional space the coordinates for the center of a sphere, and then they were given the equation for a plane, and they had to find the point of tangency between the sphere and the plane, given that they were tangent. That was something none of them had seen that before. I think one of my kids, my Stephen Forrest, is our kind of our superstar, and he figured it out. He actually wrote, in the middle of the test, he wrote a calculator program that solved the problem for him.
Wow.
Yay.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff. They really just need to be really inventive to succeed at this. Now, it's something you can get better at, too, though. So, I you know, some of those kids I mentioned who are great students but struggle at this, you know, when they keep coming to these competitions and when they stick around after and look at, like, okay, how could I have done this problem? You start to see them pick things up and get a lot better at the problem solving. And honestly, that's what it's all about. That's what math is all about, is learning to be a good problem solver. So I love this stuff because it really encourages these kids to get out of their comfort zone, to challenge themselves, to develop some grit. You know, when you fail, when you get something wrong, to realize that doesn't mean you're not going to figure it out.
Wow. So I mean, that's pretty impressive, man. The fact that you have kids who are naturally good at math, but then they come into a competition like this or a simulated competition, and it takes them a while to figure this out. And you never know if maybe the pressure kind of gets to them. I think that could certainly be a part of it. But you mentioned how this has become a lot of fun for the kids also. This has been around 6 years, and I think you mentioned before we came on the air that you have 24 or 25 kids as a part of the team. How has this thing grown over the last 6 years?
Yeah, it's definitely gotten bigger over the years, and this year it got bigger too because we had some of the hype around the team, and you know, I think people were a little excited about it. We actually had 24 kids in the final match on Friday last week. You know, again in my classroom on a Friday afternoon after school to take a math test. That's to me that's the coolest part. That's a room full. Throughout the season, we probably had close to 30 different kids involved at different times. When I started this stuff, you know, we might have 6 or 7 kids show up. So I've been trying to branch out and recruit a little bit more. Part of the trouble is I teach mostly juniors and seniors, so I don't get to know the kids as young. So I got to get into those freshman classrooms and get them to start coming out.
Got to start recruiting.
Exactly.
So you just touched on what I was going to ask you. So how is this broken down as far as what grade level the students are in? Because obviously you don't get to calculus till much further on. Or I'm sure some of the theories and questions out of the box type stuff that a senior might be able to answer, a freshman may not have gotten to that point yet. So how is it broken down that way?
Yeah, that's a good point. And some of the competitions allow for that. We have some things, there's one or two we've done where they have different tests for different grades. But a lot of them are just, it's the same for everybody, and this is that way. So, and actually that's part of why it's hard to get some of the freshmen to come out and keep coming, because it's for the vast majority of them, even the really great students, it is just, it's intimidating. You know, they'll come out and they'll try, and they might have an idea on one or two out of the 7 questions, and then they might get them all wrong anyway. So trying to get the kids to come out for it as a ninth grader and to keep going every week, that's a bit of a challenge. There are some kids though that even, again, Steven, he's a senior this year, and Irwin, he's our second highest scorer this year. The two of them both, as freshmen even, could do a lot of this stuff. In fact, Steven's first week at Math Madness, he got a perfect 8 out of 8. I hadn't had a kid do that before at any grade level. It was kind of funny because I had a couple seniors that year who were good, who were a little cocky, and then they saw this little freshman come along and outscore him the first week. And it was a good lesson in humility for him.
Just going to say, yeah, a nice little dose of humility. It does us all some good at some point.
That's right.
Well, before we let you go, I want to give you a chance to expand on the next step. You know, obviously, congratulations on being national champs, but you also mentioned to me earlier today, this kind of leads up to a math Olympiad. You have kids that will be taking part in the first round of that, but that comes up in a couple of months, right?
Yeah, that's right. And in February, the organization that puts on Math Madness, it's a MAA, the Mathematical Association of America. They do the AMC competition, and that's been going on a long time. So our kids will, a lot of our kids will take that test. It's a 25-question, 75-minute multiple-choice test. And the ones who do really well on that move on to the AIME exam. And, you know, I might have one or – last year I had two kids for the first time qualify. That was Stephen and Irwin. We might even have a couple more this year because I've got a few kids who can do it. And then that next test, that's like a three-hour, 15-question test.
Wow.
All the answers are integers from 0 to 999. And then if they do really well on the two of those combined, then they can move on to the, like you said, the Math Olympiad level. And I've 2 years ago, Stephen did that for us. I'd never known a kid who'd done that before. And there you're talking about, you know, maybe a couple hundred kids nationwide who get to that level. And that ultimately feeds into the Math Olympics, which is an international competition. So it's kind of a cool thing. These things just kind of keep coming up as the year goes on.
Very nice. Well, congratulations again on winning that national title, man. I know that's really, really awesome stuff and certainly a gigantic step forward 6 years in, man. That's really cool stuff. Jim, this is a lot of fun, man. Thanks for coming in studio and sharing the story.
Hey, thanks very much. I'm really proud of these kids. I think this was a great, it's just been a great experience for them. And I can't say enough about the group of kids I have and how hard they've been working. So thanks for giving me a chance to highlight them here.